Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening. God on Trial, Part 1. There are two great themes that run through Scripture. Number one, man's need of a Savior. And number two, once you're saved, live for Him. This message today and part two next week is designed primarily for people who already know Christ as their Savior. So let us back up for just a minute and talk about sinners that need Jesus as their Savior. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the beginning of the Christian life. When you realize this is you, and let this represent sin, every person has a sin debt. And this sin debt keeps us separated from God. And He is not willing that any should perish. In His love and His mercy, He wants sinners to be saved. But there's nothing that the sinner can do in his own flesh. So God sent His Son Jesus, born of the Virgin at what we call Christmas. And after 33 approximate years, He was nailed to a cross at what we call Easter. And He came to give His life to pay for the sin debt that we could never pay. When He was on that cross, the sin debt of the whole world was laid on Him. 3 days, three nights in the tomb, He rose again. Death could not hold Him. Paid in full. How do you go to heaven when you realize in the quietness of your mind, I get it. I have a sin debt and there's nothing I can do about it. And I understand that Jesus paid it all. It's not my good works, it's what Jesus alone did on the cross of Calvary. He gave His life for mine. He rose again. And when you believe that, I get it. It's not what I do, it's what Jesus did. That moment you're born again. For God so loved you, but He hated your sin, that He gave His only begotten Son to take your sin. And whosoever, that's you, believeth. You believe. It doesn't say get water baptized or anything else. It says, do you believe? If you do, He promises you will not perish, and He promises you will have everlasting life. That's the beginning of the Christian life. It is so simple, it's amazing that God would pay our sin debt. And then, once we know Christ is our Savior, we are to live daily by faith. We are saved by faith in the work of Jesus, and we are now, as Christians, to live by faith. And if God can save your soul for all eternity, do you think He can take care of you today? But too many believers trust God for their eternal destiny, yet they fail to trust Him for daily living. Do you want proof? Do you worry? I rest my case. If you truly trusted God, you wouldn't worry. Well, we're going to be considering God on trial. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, which is at the end of Hebrews 10, and all of chapter 11, and into the first two verses of chapter 12, is a court case. God's trustworthiness is on trial. Can He be trusted? Can you truly live with faith in God? Will He truly take care of you? I want you to notice the characters in this court case. The author of Hebrews is presenting the facts. Satan and the Christian's old nature are the prosecuting attorneys. And you're the judge. You have to decide in your life, can I truly trust God in daily living? So, have a seat at the bench and get ready to hear the evidence. And you decide. Hebrews 10, 38 through chapter 11, 3 are the opening statements. Hebrews 11, 4 through 40 is calling the witnesses. And Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 are the concluding statements. You see, folks, this is not a game. We are to render a verdict whether we are going to live by faith or not. Do not trust in your flesh. Trust in God in your daily living. This passage is clearly addressing Christians and how they're supposed to live. Okay, you've been saved by grace. Now live by grace and faith in Him. It's very interesting. Please look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. In other words, let's move on from salvation. And I want you to think about this. I want you to grow and really move on to advanced theology. Yes, it's so important to understand the gospel. It's important to pass it on. But he's saying, Christians, don't rest there. Move on. Read it with me. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. That's well and true. But let's not lay that foundation again. Let's keep going. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The just. I want you to understand that sometimes people use that as a salvation verse. That is not a salvation verse. That is a Christian growth verse. The just, born-again people, those who have been justified by the blood of the Lamb, they shall live by faith. They were saved by faith. Now that you're justified, you need to live by faith. And if any man draws back, he is not living the Christian life, trusting God daily. Have you drawn back? You had faith, obviously, in the beginning when you trusted Christ as your Savior. Have you drawn back now, retreated into your own flesh to work out your Christian life, to get through your own problems in life? You started in faith. Don't draw back now into yourself. You couldn't save your soul, and you cannot satisfactorily run your own life without God. Don't draw back. So here it is, the just shall live by faith. The author is expressing God's displeasure in Christians who do not finish the job that God has for them. I think the Apostle Paul grieved over Christians that did not continue on in a strong Christian life, but I believe also God Almighty is very disappointed, and he pulls back. It is not God that distanced himself from us. It's us in our sinful living that break down that relationship. Verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, sin. Kind of an encouraging. I know you're not really drawing back into sin. And I want to encourage you to keep going. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That's not saying you can lose your salvation. He's stating the grand reality. Don't draw back as a Christian. Don't draw back into sin. God will have no pleasure in that. But rather to them that believe. Do you believe the saving of the soul? That's how we ought to live. As a saved person, is God on the throne or isn't he? Are you saved or not? Well, I'm not sure. Well, did you believe Jesus as your Savior? Did you trust him, his shed blood? Yeah. Well, then you're saved. It's not of works, yeah. You're allowed to know that. So it is, we have a contrast of people that are living for the Lord and those who are drawing back. Now, we're going to get into Hebrews 11. He has basically had some opening arguments here. We're still in these. Christian, don't draw back. Don't draw back. Hebrews 11, 1, now faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. It is the substance, the concrete essence or abstract assurance, confidence, confident. Faith, your faith is evidence of something that's not seen. But I trust God. Your life will manifest what you believe and what you live. Faith brings to pass things which do not exist. In the book of Numbers, donkeys don't have vocal cords, and God put them there, or did something. There is no natural power that can part the Red Sea. God didn't need anything to do that. God didn't need anything to bring water from a rock, and the list goes on and on. Faith. Can God do anything? Absolutely. Faith brings to existence things that don't exist. Many of you in this room, I'm sure, have lived trusting God. And you could probably tell times when I had bills and not enough money. And somehow, don't ask me how, all the bills were paid and there was money left over. That's real. The faith here is have faith in God, not in the things of this world. How about faith in yourself? Well, you got to believe in yourself. Well, there's a degree of truth to that, but not to the essence where we do that without God. You need to trust God. How about faith in lucky charms? You've heard of sports athletes wearing the same socks. How about faith in chance? How about faith in general? I love this one. Keep the faith. In what? I'm not against keeping the faith, but what's it in? Faith in a political party? Faith in a sports team so much that you gamble on them? What do you have your faith in? Did you know there were a whole lot of people that had faith in the Titanic? And they're dead. A prisoner on death row can believe all he wants that his time will not come, but there's a chance it will, no matter how hard he wishes. Faith in God is so valuable because it gives substance to things hoped for. Realistic expectations. You know, Christians, sometimes God does not answer prayers the way we think he should or wish he would have. But we do know this. When you have faith in him, it always works together for good when you love him. Lord, I don't understand this, but I trust what you're doing is good. Give it time. One of the biggest mistakes Christian makes is they do not give God time. God is the only true substance for real foundation in daily living. Build your house upon the rock, not upon the sand. Faith in anything other than God has no foundation. It's only a dream and a cross-fingered wish. Evidence. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. Are we not in a court case? Here's the evidence now. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Do you really believe that? Yeah, I do. Yeah, I really do. I really do believe God created this world in 6 days. I believe this world is less than 10,000 years old. Do you really believe that? I really believe that. Absolutely, I do. Faith in God has such intrinsic value that it may be admissible as evidence in a court trial. Faith in God is just as sure as a wall that can be walked into. Things not seen. Promises of God. They are seen by faith in God. Don't you see what's happening? This servant of Elisha in 2 Kings. He was panicked. All he saw was the Syrian army. And Elisha said, would you relax? There's more of us than there are of them. And when his spiritual eyes were opened, he calmed down. Oh, I now see why you weren't panicked and I was. I guess God is on the throne and he's looking out for us. Promises of God, when we have faith, are no longer just words. They're evidence, they're comfort. They're a solid foundation for our daily living. The promises of God are as good as if they had already happened. I've used this before, but it is so powerful. Have you been to the Grand Canyon and see the skywalk? This big plexiglass, and it goes out over the abyss. Not me. I don't care if they drive a truck out there. I am not going where I cannot see. I can only see several thousand feet down. Only God can guarantee. If man can make it, it is destined to fail someday. And don't ever get this idea, well, if I think it, I can achieve it. You can go out in the parking lot and think all you want that you can flap your arms and fly, forget it. It just isn't going to happen. Let us not tell God what we're going to do. God tells us, and we live it out by faith in daily living. Trust Him. Trust Him. It's not a matter if we think it, we can achieve it. A lot of people have signed up for things that never came to pass. I'm not saying we're not allowed to try some endeavors in life. But fundamentally, when you come down to the true essence of your life, God, what do you want me to do? Some of you have probably tried a musical instrument or some such skill, and you decided that wasn't for me. I'm not ready to condemn you that you're in sin. It's when the essence of your life is not dedicated to God. What do you want? And make that first and foremost, and live therein that God has truly called you there. Start with your daily living and build on that. When a person tells God what he's going to do, then his faith is ill-placed. You're telling God, you will bless me there. No, it doesn't work that way. Dear God, what would you have me to do? That is really the essence of a successful Christian life. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Well, following these opening statements are witnesses for the legal case. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses' mother, Moses, Jacob or Israel, Rahab, Gideon, and others. They will testify to us that faith in God is well invested. It's not just talk. They literally put their faith, their action in trusting God, and it came up as a witness. I do solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Was God trustworthy? Amen. Hebrews 11:2, for by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. I really believe that word elders is referring to the Old Testament saints that we're going to look at here in just a minute. These elders, these older people that have gone before us, have obtained a good report. Their life in writing is, yep, this guy's got a pretty good record because they trusted God. Quote, they, these people in Hebrews 11, Chapter 11, they are witnesses to us because God witnessed to them. In each example cited, God gave witness to that person's faith. This witness was his divine approval on their lives and ministries. Verse 3 of chapter 11, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It's very interesting that God is including in this scripture text here creation as part of the testimony and faith. He is saying, would you look at creation and let it testify of an incredible creator, an all-loving, all-powerful, almighty God? It's the only logical explanation of where did we come from. Yet there are many that believe in evolution. Folks, we didn't evolve. Please. You know where this watch came from? I took the pieces, it was a kit, and I put it in a can and put it in a paint shaker, and out came a watch. Now, would you believe that? No, it took an intelligent creator to sit down and actually a watchmaker and put that together. Okay, let's not lose our common sense when it comes to creation. Where do you think it came from? The believer only needs to look around to see evidence that God is to be trusted. Well, how can I trust in God just by looking at creation? He's holding it all in place, isn't he? It's showing you how powerful he is, isn't it? So if you look at creation, dear God, if you can keep those planets up there, you can take care of my little life. That's what's supposed to be going through your mind. Hebrews 11:4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. I accept what you have given, Abel. And by it being dead yet speaketh. In other words, this witness died several thousand years ago, and he still speaks to us today by the record that we have. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, one of my favorite verses to misquote. But without faith, it is difficult to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that casually seek him. And you're sitting there going, that's not what it says. Good. You got it. Without faith, it is a virtual, absolute impossibility to please God in daily living. And he's the rewarder of them that diligently. Like those that came to the California Gold Rush, they gave up everything for some shiny rocks. We need to diligently seek for the wisdom of God that sees us through daily living. We must believe that he is. Because what good is it if you don't really believe that he is? Let's read it, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. First thing, you got to really believe there is a God. Or is this a game? Or is he up in heaven with a hands-off approach? No, there is a God in heaven, and he does care very much that the just shall live by faith. Trust him, even when you don't understand. Faith pleases God, and conversely, lack of faith does not please God. He that cometh to God. In the middle of verse 6, he that cometh to God. Did you know you're allowed to come to God? Did you know he's only a prayer away? All the time. All the time. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Well, do you come to God with a bunch of doubts and reservations about it? Start to come to God with boldness. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Here I am. I'm seeking your face. Reporting for duty. What do you got? We must believe that God is. He truly does exist. Now, one of the hardest things that we don't like to discuss is somebody else controlling our life. When it's God, it's a wonderful thing. But many times people have actually said something to this effect, but if I trust God and do that, I have to give up this, this, and this. Well, maybe there are some things in your life that you do need to give up this, this, and this, but let me tell you what, from very personal experience, anything that you give up for God, he replaces with something far greater. You haven't given up anything. You have only gained. Because then the things which God is leading you to do will last for eternity, and they do bring lasting peace even here on this earth. He gives you a peace that passes all understanding. Abel, he stood against family opposition to worship correctly, and his brother killed him. Enoch maintained a pure testimony before God, and he was translated, and God was pleased by him. Noah preached to a wicked society and built this unusual structure. What's an ark? What's a flood? Abraham and Sarah, they went to a strange land, and Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, Isaac. Isaac, he passed the blessings of God onto his sons. Even though they both had great problems, Isaac saw the future and had faith in God, you're going to work through these boys. And he blessed them. Jacob blessed Joseph's sons at his death. Let's take a minute and just kind of focus on this. Hebrews 11:21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. Why is that such a big deal? Because Jacob was the one that had his name changed to Israel, and through him was going to be this nation, and his favorite son, Joseph, was sold into slavery, elevated in the government, and he married an Egyptian woman, and she bore him two boys. And Jacob had such faith, those two boys will be welcomed into the nation of Israel. They will be an integral part. He was not afraid. Knowing that he was going to die, he blessed both of them. He saw the future. He trusted God. Joseph had taught that he showed his faith in returning to the land of Israel. Take a look at Hebrews 11:22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. He had so much faith. He proclaimed it and God wrote it down. Your bones and this people are going back to that promised land. He had that much faith. Moses' mother committed her son to God's hand by hiding him and by putting him in the river. Moses, take a look at this one, Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he was a man able to make decisions, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He had so much faith, I'll give this all up because it's worth it to have God. The nation of Israel, after they were delivered from Egypt, they passed through the Red Sea. Hebrews 11:29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea on dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. They went in faith. And how about they had such great faith that when they went into the promised land, okay, for 7 days we're going to walk around this city and the walls are going to fall down. Okay. Read the end of it, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. And what did you do to make it happen? Well, they walked around 7 days. And last, Rahab was spared from death. Hebrews 11:31, by faith, harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Why? She had received the spies with peace. She put her own life on the line to save those two men. Folks, God sees the works that you do, and he is moved. He's entreated by them to bless you, to continue to guide you, to give you more and more responsibility for him, whatever level it may be. And God will bless. There'll be more on this in our study next week. Don't forget, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it is the single most important decision you will ever make of your whole life. Trust him as your Savior apart from your good works. Then live for him. Father God, thank you for the time we've had in your word. Bless it. Help us truly to take to heart the just shall live by faith. In Christ's name, amen. This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.